thank you emails that say you have successfully unsubscribed from these emails for completely missing the point. Thank you, the phrase, the greatest thing since sliced bread, for making me seriously wonder who it is that's in charge of deciding what the greatest thing is. Thank you, new study that found that people aren't naturally good at math. It's like I've always said, math is 50% hard work and 60% luck. Thank you, blowing out the candles on a birthday cake, because there's nothing I want to eat more than dessert with my friend's spit on it. Every Friday night, Jimmy Fallon sits at his Tonight Show desk and writes thank you notes such as these. Most of them are silly and sarcastic, and they often bring the ironies of life to light. For me, it's a bit that never gets old, and even though it's meant to be entertaining and to make people laugh, I think there's something really cool about giving thanks in public every single week. For me, it's a simple reminder to be thankful for the everyday things in life. So today, as we celebrate Gifts of Women Sunday, we are invited to give thanks for the women in our lives and for the ways that God has worked through women throughout history. We are invited to give thanks for the many women who came before us, who birthed love and joy into the world, who adopted the traits of passion and strength, and those who nurtured children and grandchildren and nieces and nephews and friends and even strangers. We give thanks for them and recognize that we wouldn't be here. Not a single one of us would be in this room without them. And as I reflect on this today, I give thanks for the women in my own life who have nurtured me and shown me grace and even given me a kick in the behind every now and then. My mom is one of those women that I give thanks for. And I give thanks for many reasons, but perhaps the one most fitting for today is that she helped teach me what it is to be grateful. Now, as a kid, my mom would always force me to write thank you notes, and I hated it. I dreaded it. I always felt so awkward and didn't really know what to say. So most of my thank you notes came out sounding like this. Thank you, Grandma, for the stuff you gave me. I really like it. Really heartfelt. And then I'd scribble my name on the envelope, seal it, and send it off. The notes were painful to write and probably painful for my family to read, but writing those notes, no matter how awkward, was truly a gift. I didn't realize it at the time, but the practice of sitting down to give thanks allowed me just enough space to think of someone other than myself. Being thankful is one of the first things we teach our children as they grow up. It's drilled into us even before we can talk. We want our kids to be polite, and so we're constantly reminding them to say those two little words, thank you. And it's work, because it's not something that comes naturally to us. None of us are born with a sense of gratitude. Instead, we're born with a sense of need, of looking out for ourselves and merely surviving. And so gratitude must be taught. As babies grow into toddlers, we have to remind them to say thank you. I prompt my own kids 100 times a day to say it. And it's often, what do you say? Thank you. It's not heartfelt. But just the practice of saying thank you makes a difference. And even as adults, we forget to say it. We forget to thank the waitress for bringing us a refill, or the person who holds the door open for us. We forget to thank that car that lets us into traffic as we merge a little later than we had planned. We often forget to say thanks. But I'm afraid it's more than just forgetting our manners. I'm afraid that sometimes we are actually forgetting to be thankful. We forget to give thanks for what we have. And just like little children, we get wrapped up in our own worlds. We go back to that primal place where we're only worried about ourselves and surviving. Selfishness takes center stage, and we realize that there is a lack of gratitude in our lives. Everything we see around us reminds us of what we don't have. Every advertisement, every time we check in on Instagram or Facebook, every time we open the newspaper, We're constantly bombarded with reminders of the things that we lack. Rarely are we reminded to give thanks for what we have. That's why this portion on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is so important, because the message is truly countercultural. It's not about reminding us what we don't have or inviting us into our selfish ways. Instead, it's a reminder to be grateful and to give thanks for all that God has given us, and to remember that God is with us and loves us no matter what we have or what we do not have. I've always been struck by this passage. Maybe because I'm a natural worrier, and so planning for the future and thinking about what I'll eat or drink or wear and how I'm going to provide for my family, it's what I do best. And I've noticed in my own life that when I focus on those things and start to get wrapped up in them, I forget to be thankful. Instead of living in a state of gratitude, I exist in a state of anxiety and fearfulness and scarcity. I don't notice what I have. I only worry about what I don't have or what I wish I had. But thankfully, Jesus, who was fully human, recognizes our human tendency to do this. And he knows that we're more attracted to worry than to gratitude. So what do you have to worry about? Jesus asks. Does God, our heavenly parent, not give you everything you need? Does God not pay attention to all of creation and provide for even those silly little birds and inconsequential flowers? If God cares enough about these things, who have no capacity to even acknowledge God, don't you think God, the one who created you and loves you and knows you, will provide for you? Of course. God loves you, so don't worry. God is with you. Don't focus on what you don't have right now. Instead, focus on God and becoming righteous and seeking God's holiness. God's got your back. And while we have this assurance from Christ, and we know this in our heads that we don't need to be afraid, sometimes it's still difficult to take it to heart. We are forgetful people, and even when God has provided for us in the past, sometimes we still worry God will not continue to provide. And even if we do remember and trust God's provision, we often find it hard to be really satisfied and grateful for what we do have. We're always wanting more. And sometimes, even when we know we should be grateful, our hearts just aren't in it and we don't feel like giving thanks. And on top of all of this, life can throw some pretty difficult circumstances our way, making gratitude seem impossible. So this simple act of giving thanks gets complicated. So what are we supposed to do when we're just not feeling it? What do we do when the fear of scarcity is stronger than the promises of God? Well, in 2015, Arthur Brooks wrote an op-ed piece in the New York Times entitled, "Choose to be Grateful. It Will Make You Happier." I came across it this week and was struck by it, because we've long known the physical and health benefits of being grateful. But in his piece, Brooks makes a compelling argument for being thankful, even when we don't feel it. He writes, "We are more than slaves to our feelings, circumstances, and genes. Evidence suggests that we can actively choose to practice gratitude, and that doing so raises our happiness." He goes on to cite several studies that say the same thing, that when we choose to be grateful, whether we really feel like giving thanks or not, we will eventually become more grateful and in turn happier people. And so what does he suggest for those times when we just can't bridge that gap? Well, first he says to start with an inner gratitude, giving thanks for all the things that you have, a job, a home, a family. And then move on to external gratitude, finding ways to show others your appreciation, whether it's writing a thank you note or writing a quick email to acknowledge someone. But then he ends his article with this final bit of advice. Finally, be grateful for useless things. It is relatively easy to be thankful for the most important and obvious parts of life: a happy marriage, healthy kids, or living in America. But truly happy people find ways to give thanks for the little, insignificant trifles. Ponder the impractical joy in Gerard Manley Hopkins' poem, Pied Beauty. Glory be to God for dappled things, for skies of couple color as a brinded cow, for rose moles all in stipple upon trout that swim, fresh fire coal chestnut falls, finches' wings, landscape plotted and pieced, fold, fallow, and plow, and all trades, their gear and tackle and trim. Be honest, Brooks writes, when was the last time you were grateful for the spots on a trout? More seriously, think of the small, useless things you experience. The smell of the air, the fragment of a song that reminds you of when you were a kid. Give thanks. Don't express gratitude only when you feel it. Give thanks, especially when you don't feel it. Friends, when we choose gratitude over fear, we rebel against the ways of the world and instead embrace the kingdom of God. When we decide to give thanks rather than to complain about what we don't have, we turn ourselves toward abundant life and into the joy of our Lord. So may we take this message to heart and return thanks to God for the very life that we have been given, choosing love and gratitude over fear and worry. And may we notice the little things in life and give thanks for them. So thank you, God, for emails that say you have successfully unsubscribed from these emails. Because even if they miss the point, we are reminded that we have access to technology and that we have the ability to stay connected with people near and far. And thank you, God, for the phrase, the greatest thing since sliced bread. Because even if we don't think sliced bread is all that great, it reminds us to laugh and to use our imagination and creativity. And thank you, God, for that new study that found that people aren't naturally good at math, because it reminds us that you have given us each different gifts and abilities, and that you have created us with brains that are capable of learning difficult things. And finally, thank you, God, for blowing out candles on a birthday cake, because it reminds us that even if we have spit on our cake, we have friends to celebrate with, and food on our table. Thanks be to God. Amen.